Hey, it's bowl season, and the Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for college football bowl games and the college football playoffs, presented by Twin Peaks and Parman Tractor and Equipment. Today, 94.9 will have the college football playoff first-round game between the SMU Ponies and the Penn State Nittany Lions at 11 a.m. 102.5 The Game will have the other two playoff first-round games, Clemson versus Texas at 3 p.m., followed by the Tennessee and Ohio State game at 7 p.m. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowl games. Welcome back for his company. Connor Newt taking over the helm, joined by Nick Frazier here at Bridgestone Arena. We are in Jack Daniels Barrel House outside Section 111. Come see us if you're coming to the game. It's going to be a fun one today, Preds and Kings. Jake Wallman back at the studio behind the ones and twos. How about a little programming note here, Frazier?
Let's do a little pup. How about that?
Oh, there is a little pup right in front of us. Hi, Poochie.
What's the program? What we got
Hi,
here?
Good boy. Anyways, a bonus extra 30 minutes for us today.
How about that?
Taking it 11 to 11:30, getting you right ready for Smashville today with Max Herz. And at 11 a.m., the reporter, Nick Kieser, will join us live from Bridgestone Arena.
We got surprises. It's Christmas.
It's Christmas. It's the holiday season.
The season of giving.
The season of giving. Speaking of the season of giving, let's get back into our question of the day. Yes. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What is the best gift not received that you have ever given someone? It can be creative. I'm banning gift cards because gift cards are not creative and not original at all. I don't hate receiving gift cards, but if it's from someone special, like my siblings or, you know, my parents, I don't want to, you know, Visa gift card, go get what you want. Not a fan of that. Nick Frazier, it's your question.
Yeah.
You started off.
So I got my brother, this was probably, I'd say 3-4 years ago. He's a big, you know, archery guy, likes to do stuff like that. So I got him like this cool archery, like not sash, but it's like where you hold your arrows and stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's called like a quill. I don't know. But anyway.
It's a quiver.
Yeah, quiver. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I don't know. Quill. I don't know what I'm
quill.
Talking about. Yeah, I don't know. Quiver. Yeah. So I got him one of those. Super cool. What else? Oh, I got my grandmother. Was this? No, I wasn't. No, I scratched that. That might be this year. Hang on. I'm getting my years mixed up. But no, I got my brother that. I got my mom a cool Adidas jacket one year. I think this was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, that Christmas was pretty great. I got a lot of presents for people. I got my
You're making
aunt,
that money.
At the time, yeah. Still do. But no, I got my aunt probably a few years back some shoes. And so, yeah, I do like Christmas. I like getting gifts for people. So we'll see what happens this year for Christmas.
Yeah.
But what about you?
Man, I got to think about it. This year what I got my dad is pretty special, but I'm not gonna say that
not
on the air.
Not going to spoil it.
Because it's part of the surprise.
Yeah.
I want to say it was 2 years ago. My brother is a massive Dallas Cowboys fan. Like, he's watching every game. He follows the team because my mom lived in Dallas for a while.
Yeah.
We're kind of a house divided. It's my dad and I, Titans, and then my brother and my mom and I guess my sister too. She's 12. She doesn't really get it yet, but
right.
They're Cowboys. So I got my brother, you know, the little mini Speed Flexes.
Oh yes.
I found the Cowboys one. It was hard to find.
Oh yeah.
You know, America's team or whatever.
So does he collect those? Or no? Like all
sort
the
of,
whole.
Sort of. I collect them more than he does. I have two right now. I have a Kentucky one, which is obviously my favorite. And then
right.
I have the big, like the real Titans Speed Flex.
Wow.
So I love it.
Put that on from time to time.
It's got the little cap on the lid so you can't fit it on all the way. It's kind of disappointing.
That is unfortunate.
But if it worked, I'd be hitting tryouts at the Applebee's parking lot.
Listen, if they ever want anybody to just come in and go on the practice squad, I'm all for it.
Take some hits.
I don't mind taking some hits and collecting a check. I'm all right with that.
Pay them. Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah, but that would probably be my one. I'd say 1 year I got my mom a robe, but everyone gets their mom a robe.
Yeah,
feels like.
Maybe.
But
I got my dad 1 year. He's a big Cowboys fan. Got him a big – it's the old school Dallas Cowboy logo where it has like the cowboy, you know,
Oh, yeah.
On the horse.
Mike McCarthy wears all the time.
Yeah. I got him a shirt on that and then a hat, and he was just in hog heaven. So, yeah, that's that for me. I can't remember anything else.
I think your uncle's chimed in on our text line.
Oh, boy.
Not about a gift. He's just saying, where's your blue and white, buddy? We are Penn State.
Yeah, I mean, I do have some blue on, but no white. It has a little tint of white to it. I don't know. But, yeah, that's what I got my folks for Christmas for the most part. Jake, what about you, man?
I could go the easy route and say tomorrow, or not tomorrow. 1 year ago Monday, I proposed to my now wife.
And you gave yourself as a gift.
Yeah, I gave myself, yeah.
The ego on this guy.
How about that? The season of giving.
No, I remember when me and my brother were kids, my dad grew up in West Virginia, so he's a big Steelers fan.
Right.
And he saw this jacket that this guy had on, and it had on, like, all these Super Bowl patches.
Mm.
And so for Christmas 1 year, my mom, my brother, and I gave him one of those jackets that had all the Super Bowl patches on it, and he still got it. And so I think that was a pretty good gift that we gave him when we were kids.
Now let's flip it. I know we said we weren't going to do it. What's the best gift you've ever received?
Going to Vegas last year. My brother got me some NRL tickets for rugby, you know, big rugby guy.
Yeah.
Favorite team, Brisbane Broncos, played in Vegas. And boy, oh boy, was that a blast.
I was waiting for NRL to happen.
It's happening again, man.
I've missed it. I've missed the NRL references on this show.
Oh, it's happening. This upcoming year, 2025, there's going to be a lot of NRL that's been coming out of my mouth.
I can't wait. I would say mine, it was a graduation gift, but I'll throw it out there anyway. I have a ball. You're going to love this, Frazier. I have a baseball framed, signed by Stan the Man.
You're joking.
Stan Musial.
Wow. Every time I go to a Cardinals game, I go third base side and take a picture with Stan. The statue that is.
Obviously, none of us got to see Stan.
Yeah.
He's the man.
He is.
He's the man.
Stan the Man.
Christmas, I mean, my PlayStation obviously is a staple in my daily life.
Yes.
I play that every day. The college football machine, as I call it.
Your second job.
Yeah, that's my first job.
Oh, man.
They say you're supposed to have fun at your job, and I have more fun at now LSU than I do at any other place.
Oregon, so forth.
Oregon, Notre Dame.
Not counting 102.5 The Game, of course?
No, we're just talking college football.
Okay.
Here. Strictly college football.
Gotcha.
He's Coach New.
What's 102? I don't know what that is. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Jake Wallman, what's the best gift you've ever received?
I don't know. I remember when I was 4 years old, I received one of those, like, battery-powered Harley Davidsons.
Oh, yeah.
That I just rode everywhere. I do remember receiving the first ever Xbox for a Christmas gift a few years after that.
Yeah.
I vaguely remember my dad and I installing it in our playroom. I've received a number of good gifts, to be quite honest. Oh, I mean, it's hard to ever pick just one.
Yeah.
You know what kind of gift we get on Sundays? Coal. Just coal.
Oranges.
The Tennessee Titans are absolute coal this season.
If you think about it, that's the gift that keeps on giving all year. If you're looking to stay warm, that is.
Yeah, I guess so.
Clark, it's the gift that gives on all
there it is.
Year.
There it is.
No Jelly Club memberships
no.
given out to us. But hey, speaking of the Tennessee Titans,
hmm.
we've had a lot of conversations this week about ownership. What's the trajectory of this franchise? I really want to get into that. Let's do that next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Jingle bell, jingle bell,
jingle bell rocking.
How about that?
Here at Barrel House, inside Bridgestone Arena, right outside Section 111. I bet you're wondering, where's Jake Lyman today? You got Connor Newt, you got Nick Frazier, you got Jake Wallman. Well, completely unrelated to that situation. Tune into 94.9 The Fan today for Vanderbilt men's basketball. Huh. The Commodores take on Austin Peay at Memorial Gym with a 2 o'clock tip-off, and the pregame show starts at 1:30 p.m. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. I totally thought that was a Vanderbilt women's basketball.
Well, you know what? Vanderbilt women's plays before that.
They do.
And you can catch pregame at 10:45.
Minor mistake right there.
That's
but
okay.
Hey, we missed Jake Lyman. Hopefully, we hear from him soon.
Hopefully.
But let's get into this. The Tennessee Titans, unfortunately, play football tomorrow.
Yes, they do.
Inside Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana, against the Colts. And Will Levis has been benched.
Yes.
Brian Callahan came out this week and said it, along with a few other choice words that unfortunately made it onto our airwaves.
My goodness. But, he has a potty mouth.
Yeah, he's, I mean, worse than Vrabel, maybe.
You know, that's a good conversation to have for another day.
Let's have them, let's sit them down in a room and have them debate.
Oh.
Who can cuss more, Mike Vrabel or Brian Callahan? And I want the moderator to be Gentry Estes.
Oh, yes. Give me some popcorn. That's pay-per-view material.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'd pay $60 to watch that on, you know, pay-per-view TV. But I want to get into this question.
Sure.
With Will Levis being benched, how much of an improvement does Mason Rudolph actually give this team?
I think it gives the Titans a form of just a consistency, like just a form of like a veteran that kind of knows what he's doing behind center. I'm not saying Will Levis doesn't, but it just seems like Will Levis has kind of found the trends that he kind of began with here in his tenure with the Titans. He's just throwing stuff at random places. He's not making good reads.
He throws stuff at the wall and hopes it sticks.
Yeah.
For sure.
And so I think with Mason Rudolph, you're getting more of some sort of poise in that, I guess, under center for the Titans.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it'd give the opportunity for Tony Pollard to open up the run game a little bit. Because like when the passing game doesn't work for Will Levis and he starts to panic, that also domino effects onto other stuff that's involved in the offense, as in the run game, as in, you know, your short screen plays and stuff like that. That stuff falls down immediately.
You want to talk awareness ratings.
Oh.
Will Levis would have about a 30.
Oh.
Sometimes.
Maybe a 12.
Maybe worse than that. There's no one. You go back and watch last week. Will Levis's pass, he was looking for Chig Okonkwo, the pick six.
Yeah.
He did not take his eyes off of Chig. Everyone in the stadium knew exactly where he was going.
Yeah, and
That's what I think Mason Rudolph lacks, is he knows QB vision. He knows where to find things. We've said this time and time again on this show. You know exactly what you're getting with Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
It's not good, but it's not bad. Now, do I think Mason Rudolph could lead this team to a win? Probably not. But
maybe.
I think this has been said a lot on this station. I think this may signal the end of the Will Levis era in Tennessee.
And what have I been saying all season long, Connor Newt? You're going to see what? Signs of what?
Progression.
And signs of what?
Regression.
That's all you're getting out of Will Levis. And
yep.
Where the Titans are going to get stuck at? In the mucky middle.
Yep.
Because guess what? They're going to have a top five draft pick probably. To me, I mean, the draft this year, and we've mentioned this before on other shows, not a great QB class. Really, it's not great. But nonetheless, you need to kind of use that one pick and utilize it to where you can get more picks. I think trading back is the right option for the Titans, but I try not to look too much into the draft right now because you try to look at what's at hand for the Titans, and that's getting better in all other facets of the game besides the quarterback position.
I'm with you. And they asked Will Levis earlier this week, what's his thoughts on being benched? And he said he's going to succeed whether it's here or somewhere else. I don't know. I don't know if it's here, buddy.
I don't even know if it's somewhere else.
I don't know if it's – I
will say, to his credit, though, to his comment about saying maybe it's somewhere else, if he does go somewhere else, I think he will see more signs of progression than regression in general, because there's something about the Titans. I don't know if it's just quarterback development in general, but it tends to not go well for the Titans.
That's true, but you got to look at the system around him. This coach was hired to improve Will Levis. This
true.
Offensive system around him, the receiver core, the running backs, the offensive line barely, was assembled around Will Levis. And Will Levis has not played to the standards that this team has expected him to play.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't want to say he's an excuse maker, but doesn't it kind of seem like it's never his fault?
Yeah, it's not one of his teammates' fault, but he doesn't really put a pinpoint answer of whose fault it is. You're right.
Last week I heard this. He's just not my day.
Yeah,
it's not your day. It's not your season.
And Brian Callahan said the same thing, just not his day. Well, like, we get that.
We've gotten into Jared has gotten into this extensively before, and I don't just say this because we're at Bridgestone Arena with the Preds.
Right.
But that's the difference between the Titans and Preds. The Titans are, well, shucks. We'll get them next time. And the Preds, they'll take it head on.
Well, you even heard Barry Trotz when he went on with Jared this past week. The culture is not that. Because they were talking about getting a top five, top three draft pick for the Preds. Like, you have to be really bad.
Yeah.
Barry Trotz doesn't want to do that.
No.
His determination is to always be having the best product out there. He's going to be aggressive.
That's why you're seeing him clear the space. Alexander Carrier just flipped to Montreal, saves $2.5 million in cap space.
Yeah.
Barry, I think, said this in his presser the other day. If there is a top guy out there, he's going to go get it because he wants to compete. The Titans, they say they want to compete. They'll tell you, we want to put the best product we can out on the field. But have they really shown that?
On paper, you could say that they marked off some boxes this past offseason with center Lloyd Cushenberry. Obviously, the injury to him doesn't
sure.
do well.
Calvin Ridley, good grab.
You get that on paper. That looks good. Tony Pollard, you grab that on paper. That's good.
Honestly, that's probably the best signing of the offseason.
Oh, 100%. You get a backup quarterback. They're checking the boxes. But those boxes, they may not be telling the full truth. That's the issue.
Yeah.
You check off the boxes, you may not be getting the full truth.
You're sure, not getting the full truth.
Sure, L'Jarius Sneed's great.
Yes.
To some regard.
That's where I was going. How many games has he played? No. Jadobia Awuzie missed 10 games of the season, it feels like.
Yeah.
And obviously had an interception a couple days ago, but how much of an impact have these real signings made? Let's look at the draft classes Rand Carthon has had. Last year's? Awful.
Yeah.
Awful. Peter Skoronski, you don't draft a guard at 11 if he's not an all-pro. You need it. Jake Lyman has said this before. You need him to be Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
I'm
still on the fence about Skoronski.
I
know it sounds kind of odd to say late in the season, but
I'm not as far out the door as Jared is, but I'm
you're on the
poking
way.
Out. Yeah. We'll say that.
I think for Titans fans and also just Titans in general, you have to build trust in your players, and I think you just can't give up on guys so quick. That's my only issue with a lot of these young guys on the roster, especially a guy like Peter Skoronski, because you have one of the best offensive line coaches in the nation.
Yeah.
Especially.
Of
all time, exactly. And so I don't think you can just give up on a guy that quick, because look at Dylan Radins. He's had a pretty decent season.
Yes.
And everybody thought before the season, goodness, let's get him out of here. Ship him out.
Now, your next draft class, you got some gems.
Yep.
J.C. Latham, I think, is going to be solid.
Yep.
Who am I missing?
T'Vondre Sweat.
T'Vondre Sweat has not been great, but he's not been awful.
I think he's played a really good role as a rookie.
Jarvis Brownlee might be a diamond in the rough.
Yep.
In your secondary. So if we're looking for, you know, instant impact guys, I don't think you're going to find that with Rand Carthon. And I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah, it's a definitely – you put the cake in the oven, and you want it to bake. That's kind of what he's doing right
yeah.
now. You're shaking and baking. They're doing more shaking than baking.
Yeah. I for one, am tired of – have patience with us Titans fans. No, the time for patience is over. Let's continue this conversation up next. This is Force Company 102.5-106.3, The Game. Chris Sanders and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison tomorrow for the pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. They will break down the Titans' Week 16 matchup against the Colts and give you the latest updates before the game. I have a feeling they're not going to do too much breaking down. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Welcome back, Forest Company 102.5-106.3, the game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Jake Wallman behind the ones and twos. We were just talking Titans. How does the front office affect the trajectory of this franchise? And I want to pose this question to you, Frazier.
Okay.
Would new leadership, if we were to fire the GM, let's say Rand Carthon, we thank you for your service. Your time as a Tennessee Titan is done. We're going to bring in a new guy. Would new leadership fix the trajectory of this team?
I think it would benefit in some regard. My only concern would be you get rid of Rand Carthon, who's your next guy you're going to go get?
Exactly.
That's my only issue.
My thing is you fire Rand Carthon. Great. Clearly not fit to be a GM. I'm with Jared on this. Yeah. I will always be with Jared on this. do you have the guts to go hire the next right person, someone that actually knows football and someone that is actually equipped to be a general manager?
I mean, I don't know.
And based on what I've seen from Amy Adams Strunk, I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about that.
Amy tends to hire – I sound just like Jared right now. Amy tends to hire people that are going to tell her yes.
Yeah.
People that are going to say, yes, ma'am, or whatever she wants to hear.
Yes, Miss Amy.
Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, whatever the hell he does. I still don't know. With his AI cancer-curing model.
I don't know what he does, honestly. That's a
I don't
question.
Know. Brian Callahan, I don't know if he's a yes man, but
I wouldn't call him a yes man. No.
I wouldn't fire him yet. No. I would give him one more year.
I think for the relationship with Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan, I'm sure it's great, but at the same time, when you look at the product on the field, there's a disconnect somewhere.
Yes.
There is a disconnect somewhere. And I don't know if it's you know, the acquiring of certain players this past offseason, if that was the disconnect. I mean, they seem like they were – like I remember the press conference. They were like, we're hunting together. Well, I guess that's not the disconnect then of the players. I don't know where the disconnect
is. This is something Joe Dubin says that I just can't get with him on. He says, like, if you don't like the players, then don't take the job. Callahan didn't choose who was on this team.
Right.
He said Will Levis was a big part of why he took it. Obviously, that experiment is failing. Now he's got to readjust.
Well,
but Callahan coaches the team.
Right.
He has the scheme. He calls the plays. He does all that. He doesn't control the performance of the players. That's not something he does. He doesn't control who's on this roster.
Right.
That's a Rand Carthon thing. And to me, the guys Rand Carthon has brought in have not been up to par.
Yeah, and you make a decent, you know, observation about that. I got a text for personal text. Wanted to chime in about this. Talking about draft picks. They said the Titans are far from being a contender and giving up on guys who have potential because they aren't, quote, instant impact guys is why the Titans are constantly stuck in as a poverty franchise for the discussion.
I think that's a general thing in Nashville sports. These two teams, Predators, Titans, they can develop some talent, but there are others that they just give up on too fast.
Yeah.
Let's look at the Preds. You trade Philip Tomasino. He's killing it over in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but I don't know.
That's a bit of a different situation. I know he's been through two GMs, two head coaches. It didn't work with any of them.
Yeah.
I think his time was up here. But let's look.
Look at the
Titans.
Back,
Ellie Tolvanen.
Oh, same with you. Okay. All right.
Sticking with the Predators.
Okay.
Ellie Tolvanen goes to Seattle. He's a decent player up there.
Yeah.
I'd say. Alex Carrier, I think his time was up here, but there are. I understand you got young players brewing in Milwaukee, but the product on the ice right now is not where it should be. Titans are the same way.
Yeah.
The thing is, the Titans don't have a promising young star, in my opinion.
Bingo.
Closest thing you got is Jarvis Brownlee, who's a fifth-round pick, and I don't know, maybe he's just had a overachieving season as a guy they plugged in. But I don't know. I feel like the sophomore slump for him is coming.
I think a lot of those guys, and I'm going to use Jarvis Brownlee, he's a perfect example for this. A lot of those late-round draft picks that flourish in terrible situations like the Titans are in right now, that goes to show you who really is a foundational piece, and he is definitely one of those guys.
Yeah.
And so like, I think it's not a fluke that he's having a really good season. He's having a really good season because he's a really good football player.
Yeah, I can see that. But outside of him, how many other young guys on this team can you say are true top prospects in this league?
I think Tavondre Sweat's coming into his feet.
He's
getting there.
I say
don't lose hope on Peter Skoronski just yet. Because, like I said before, when you have a really good offensive line coach, making at least Dylan Radins not your scraps anymore as he's actually putting good production out on the field for the most part, I mean, you can't give up on Skoronski. Sure, he goes through slumps. Hell, look at J.C. Latham. He's going through a little bit of a slump.
J.C. is a promising young stud on this team. I have a hard time saying – I was on this camp before the season started. Now seeing him play, I have a hard time saying it. I think I'm out on Tajay Spears. Some of that is Tony Pollard has been the absolute workhorse of this team as running back.
I have a thought about Tajay Spears, and I'll get into it now. I'm not out on him because I know he has the intangibles to –
be a really good running back. He's shown flashes of it. I think that the head injuries for me are what's holding him back. That's my opinion. I think that's what's holding him back.
To me, he just has he's prone to disappear in games.
Yeah.
You look at the Titans will tell you he had a big game last week. How much of that was in garbage time?
Yeah, but at the same time, like, even when he was going into, like, you know, one-on-one contact with the defender, he was still, in my opinion, kind of bracing for the hit a little bit. I mean, I'll use myself as an example. Obviously, I didn't play at the college level. I didn't play at the pro level, but I played high school football. Sure, I was not the biggest guy out on the field. I ended up getting injured a decent bit. I hurt my back, got a few concussions along the way.
Led with the head, buddy.
I'll say this. I never wore a guardian cap. I probably should have, but I know for a fact after one concussion, I had a little bit of apprehension when it came to getting that next contact. But I had to get over that hump, that mental hump of like, dude, I'm a football player. That's what you do. That's why you play the sport. You go out there, you smash some skulls, you go out there and maybe wrap up a few tackles while you're at it. You run through some people. That's how you play football. And I think for Tajay Spears as a young guy in the league, he's just got to get over that hump mentally when it comes to stuff like that.
Yes, that's part of the game. That's part of all sports. Yeah. There's always mental humps. I can relate it to Kentucky basketball. Jackson Robinson, shooting guard, has not looked the part he was supposed to look. He has been brick after brick after brick. And then you hit that one shot, and the confidence starts to flow. So maybe, just out of speculation, Tajay Spears had a decent game last week. Maybe he hits his stride this week in Indianapolis. But we'll see.
I don't think it's – this is the last thing I'll say. I don't think it's – a Tajay Spears issue. I don't think that he's having an issue trying to adjust to just the game in general. I think it's the amount of reps that are being split between him and Tony Pollard. Because if you look back at the Titans back in the day when they had this smash and dash with Lindell White and Chris Johnson, that worked.
Oh, yeah.
The Detroit Lions have the modern-day smash and dash. You smash and dash. You
have Sonic and Knuckles.
Yeah, you have
David Montgomery,
who's
now gone.
Hurt. Yeah. But then you have Jahmyr Gibbs, who actually is explosive and tends to bounce off tackles.
That's the thing.
Kind of like Chris Johnson.
Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard are two similar running backs.
Exactly.
They don't mesh well together because they're the same player.
And that's the thing. If you're the Titans, I don't want to say move off of Tajay Spears because you can't really do that, in my opinion.
No.
That's your future. I think even though Tony Pollard has been a great running back this season, it's just – I don't think, that, like you're saying, the two, they're the same player.
Yeah.
And it's hard to really divvy up reps like that. It's almost like you got to get rid of one of them. That's where I was leading with that comment. It's almost like you got to get rid of one of them.
I think based on this conversation, it's safe to say that the Titans have the same answer to how to fix their problems as we do.
What is that?
We don't know. But you know where we are right now, Nick Frazier?
Where are we?
We're in Bridgestone Arena.
We are.
You know what we haven't talked about yet?
Not a lot of. The Preds.
The team that plays inside Bridgestone Arena, that's next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Krampus.
A cringe?
No, the thing I mentioned the other day, Krampus.
Oh, yeah, where he scares the kids or whatever?
Yeah. Don't be a Krampus.
Don't be a Krampus, Nick Frazier says. Welcome back, Four's Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, on a very special Christmas episode, it seems.
Yes.
Even though we will be back, slight programming note, we'll be back with you Monday from 2 to 6.
We can play Christmas music then as well. Don't
four,
worry.
Four straight hours of nonstop Christmas music with myself, Ooh. Nick Frazier, and the reporter, Nick Kieser, will join us. He will also join us here in about 13 minutes or so. But let's get into the Predators. We are here at Bridgestone Arena. The Preds are in action today against the Los Angeles Kings. Preds Thursday, or what's today? Saturday?
Today's Saturday, yes.
Thursday, the Preds lost in overtime 5-4 to the Pittsburgh Penguins, which moves them to 1-7 in overtime this season. Not great numbers.
Yeah.
Not great at all. Not a great product on the ice as a whole this season. Let me just say this. Are we beyond fixing at this point?
Nah, I wouldn't say beyond fixing. This team, definitely the core is strong. I think, in my opinion, that this team just is starting to gel, in my opinion. I think that they're starting to gel.
I think they're starting to
I think the move to putting Stamkos at center has been just a refreshing thing for the Preds because him, Forsberg, Marchessault have just been a great trio.
That's the line I've been saying
they need to start this whole season.
Yeah.
I get they wanted to start the Forsberg-O'Reilly-Nyquist line because it was so productive last year.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your big money right there. Stamkos, perennial goal scorer. Jonathan Marchessault, I mean, we were kind of crapping on him, and now he's hit his stride, and he looks dynamic as ever out there. So
yeah,
leave him on the top line. Philip Forsberg has struggled as of late. I believe he's gone 17 games without a goal.
Is that so?
If I'm not mistaken, he's had some assists, of course, but unlike Philip Forsberg, to not be Scoresberg.
Yeah, he's on a bit of a dry spell. You're right.
So I think that's the key to get this team going, is get Philip Forsberg going.
11 games.
11?
11 games.
I was way off. But
I know, he's still double digit.
Still. 11 games for Philip Forsberg is basically 7 years. So I don't know. I feel like that's the key to getting this team back on track, is your star player, your franchise, Philip Forsberg. Your other franchise player, Roman Josi, has been out with injury.
Yeah.
But it's looking like your D pairs are starting to get together, starting to mesh well together too.
Yeah.
Adam Wilsby, young guy, scored his first NHL goal the other day against the Penguins. Finally, he scored one earlier and he got waved off. And then finally, the young gun got this one to go. He's played well. He's played really well.
There's something about just bringing in young defensemen that just kind of bring a refreshment to the whole, like, starting roster itself, because you obviously have veterans, you know, like a Roman Josi and Brady Shea and so forth that are playing as defensemen, and also Luke Shen.
Luke Shen.
There. But I've mentioned this to people, like, I think the legs kind of give out a little bit near the latter end of the game, in my opinion. And I think when you have young guys like, you know, Wilsby, it just brings in another refreshing moment to the team where you can actually finish games with young guys. Hey, how about that? Max Hurst.
Hey, Max Hurst.
Sorry, it caught me off guard. Sorry about that. But
he's about the Thanksgiving feast with him, too.
I think he did bring us food. How about that? Hey, bud. Anyways, continuing. Yeah, no, I think the Preds, it's refreshing to see a young guy like Wilsby succeeding at the top level.
Sure. And he's played well. He's played well. The defense, in general, I think has played a lot better than they have to start the season. How much better will that improve with Roman Josi returning here soon? I don't know. But I think it's a start. I think this team is really starting to hit their stride. And I said this earlier, but the guy I think has really stepped it up is Jonathan Marchessault.
Yeah, absolutely so.
He's put on the goal scoring. You know, you brought in these three players, or these two guys, Stamkos and Marchessault, 240 goal scorers. What'd you bring them in here to do?
To score goals.
Score goals. And they're both doing that. Stamkos is electric on the power play. And Jonathan Marchessault, if he gets in a breakaway, let's say you have an odd man rush, I'm throwing it to Marchessault every time. 9 times out of 10, it's probably going in the back of the net.
Yeah, I mean, Marchessault in the last couple games is, four goals in the last six games? Is that right? I mean, it's almost like, I think someone told me the other day he hopped on, Canadian radio and was like, talking, you know.
Started talking French.
Yeah.
Had a Brian Callahan moment in French.
Exactly. And I think after that moment, he's kind of flipped the switch and like, all right, it's, I think there's been a turning point for a lot of players in this locker room. I mean, I'm not here every day, you know, perusing the locker room, asking questions. But from the outside looking in, from the television, being here at games, you can kind of tell there's been a switch that's flipped for these guys mentally.
Yeah. And I'm just going to shut this down right now because I'm tired of hearing it.
Please shut it down.
Can we stop with the fire, Andrew Brunette?
Oh, it's done. It's gone, dog.
It ain't going to happen. Hey, thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Max Harris delivering breakfast today. Isn't that nice? There's your nutrition. Anyways, we got to stop with this, you know, Brunette.
It's stopped. It's put away. Ashes are down there.
Well, there is one person that keeps commenting every post I put out when I produce the games. I think his name is literally Fire Andrew Brunette.
Don't give him the pub. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, well, he doesn't deserve the pub.
No.
Anyways, I really think this team is starting to dig in.
Yeah.
Or dig the you-know-what in, as Roman Josi once said, with a tiny shovel in the locker room that they give to each other.
That is pretty neat.
I do like that. I always love the little trophies that they have. I think they had a wrestling belt at one point. I was a big fan of that one. Last year, it was a motorcycle helmet from, 19-something.
Yeah.
1950. But
I want to reference something real quick from Stillman's sit-down with Trotz this past Wednesday, I think, or Thursday is what it was. It's just, he said something about, you know, the culture. And I mentioned that earlier in the show about culture in general. It's almost like Trotz, when he's determined he wants to do something, he sticks to that plan.
Yeah,
I love that. It means he's just, I don't want to say tunnel vision, but he's driven to his ultimate goal, which is great. And that's kind of what is kind of refreshing to Preds fans, is that you have the aspect of, you know, the direction. Whereas for the Titans, you don't really know that direction.
And here's the thing. They're open about it.
Yes.
They'll tell you exactly where they're going. And that's something I always admire about the Predators, is that there's no iron curtain.
Yeah.
They're not going to – we're not going to get to, you know – we go behind the scenes with them. And I love that, because we can see the direction of the franchise and where we're going. The Titans, as we said earlier, they don't have that. So I think the answer to the question, and I'll ask the reporter here in a second when he
we can go behind the curtain with him.
I can't wait to go behind the curtain with Nick Kueser. But I think the question, are we beyond fixing at this point? I think that's said and done.
Yeah.
I think this is a fixable situation. Now, am I saying this team is absolutely going to make the playoffs? No. But you sign these guys to have a window to win a championship.
Yep.
That window is very wide open for the next
two to three years.
I think we both predicted this team going to at least the Western Conference Finals. I think that's out the window.
It's fair.
But I think there is light at the end of the tunnel for this team, and I'm not trying to sunshine pump it like, you know, some people claim we do.
Across the pond.
But there is light at the end of the tunnel for this Predators team, and I think this is a fixable situation for Barry Trotz and company.
Okay. I mean, I'm with you. I love the optimism. I believe the same thing wholeheartedly. And I'm not just saying that. I wholeheartedly believe, like, this team definitely is going to catch a stride late in the season and possibly be on a bubble.
Yeah.
To maybe make playoffs. Maybe. They really got to have the cards fall their way.
But you know where that starts?
Where's that?
Right now. Tonight. Or today.
Today.
Smashville today.
Yeah.
Against the LA.
It's hard
Kings.
To get, because we're used to producing games late at night. And yeah, it's like, wait a minute. We got a day game.
It's a day game. And I love that we have a day game.
Yes, indeed.
Even though I have to work tonight.
That's okay.
That's okay. Yeah. But hey, Preds and Kings today in Bridgestone Arena. If you're coming by, come see us. We're in Jack Daniel's Barrel House just outside of Section 111. And guess who's joining us right now?
Who is that?
He's right next to us.
Looking dapper,
pretending
too.
Like he doesn't hear me. Cause
I know.
I know he does. But the reporter, Nick Kueser, coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.